simply stand? Yeah, there will have to stand. Be seated. Hallelujah. Well, Homer and Rosie, will you come up here? And Candy, if you would, please. We're going to present each of these graduates with a blessing, not a major blessing. This won't pay off their college loans. It probably will buy them a nice dinner tonight if they would like, but mainly this is coming from the heart. I always, you know, this is a little side journey. People were telling me this is not much, but it's from my heart. I wished it was much and from their heart too. So one day we may be able to do that, but this morning we're so proud of each one of you in a very wonderful way. What I would like to do, I'm going to present each one of you with your card and your blessing and a congratulations. And then I'm going to ask each one of you, if you would please, for just a moment, if you can't, that's fine, you can pass the mic along. But I'd like for you to share with us, you know, where you're graduating from. Some of you are just graduating from high school most recently. Some of you are in postgraduate graduation. Tell us where you're graduating from and what your major was and what you feel like God's future is for you. So we appreciate who you are, and then each one of us will, Homer will get a moment to address you, and then we'll have you sit back down in just a few moments, and then we're going to exhort you from the Word for just a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. This first young man is... I knew him before he existed. When I first began to or met his mom and dad, which are Homer and Rosalie Betancourt, the only arrow that they had in their quiver was Julie. Is that right? Julie was, and so soon thereafter, probably Rosie became pregnant with their first son, Elijah. And Elijah has grown. And he is a grown youngin. And he's very big and strong and played football and baseball. And his dad will say more about that. But I have watched him through the years grow up. So however old he is, how old are you, son? 19. And wonderfully enough, he has stayed in the church, and he has stayed with Christ. Praise God. If you can do that, if you can raise a son or a daughter that'll stay in, and hey, the ones that leave, that's all right, they're coming back too. And besides for all of everything that God has helped him to do, God has helped him find a wonderful thing. Because the Bible says, he who finds a wife has found a wonderful thing, and he has found a wonderful wife. Hallelujah. So I'm so glad to congratulate Mr. Elijah Betancourt, and would you like to share just for a moment and say, turn around and look at those people. Now, all of you can turn. All of you graduates can turn now.
I graduated from Mockley High School. My future is to continue to come to this church and raise my family in this church.
Hallelujah. Homer, I know you don't really know this young man too well, but would you like to just say something presently over him or concerning him?
I'm proud of my son. I'm proud of him that without me having to push any issue with him, a lot of people think that I sort of forced him into marriage. That's far before God, that's far from the truth. Obviously, he's heard the message. He's heard his pastor, Pastor Bronk, preach, and he knew that he needed to step up to the plate and support his wife and support his child. And he's gotten closer to God since he's been married. And that really, he had the potential to go to school and be a baseball player. His coach told him his freshman year that he could go anywhere he wanted to. It was up to him, but it didn't work out. And many people come to me and they say, "Where's your son at, the one that could hit the ball a mile? He was a real good baseball player. Where is he now? Is he going to school anywhere?" I said, "No, he's married." So people will say, "Well, oh, man." I said, "You know what, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not bothered one bit. I'm not bothered one bit at all. My son stepped up, and he's serving Jesus. He's not in cohabitation. He's married, and his walk with God has increased. I mean, is he where he needs to be? No, but then again, neither am I. But I do rejoice as a dad that he's heard the doctrine of Pastor Bronk. He's heard the message here, and he decided within himself as a young man, said, "Dad, I got to make that." I said, "Well, son, go. We'll get you a little wedding. Get married. And you know what? That's enough. If I go home tomorrow, I'm happy that my Hallelujah. Son married." Amen?
Amen.
Pastor.
Hallelujah. Let me get this from you. Thank you. The next young lady is his wife, Amber Lee. So, Amber, would you like to say something and tell us a little bit about yourself and about your up-and-coming future?
What do I say?
What do you say?
Where'd you graduate?
I
graduated from Lockley High School. My future plans are to raise my daughter so she can have the best life she can have. And I plan to do that, doing that through Christ.
Praise the Lord. Amber, God bless you. Homer, you might want to say something over this lady as well.
Yeah, she blends in right with the family. I'll tell you why. At 1 o'clock in the morning, I was up praying, and she was eating 3 McChicken sandwiches from McDonald's. I'm not stretching anything. I'm not lying. I'm not fibbing. With a medium fry. So she blends right in. Her manners blend in right with us. She laughs. She's a clown, and we are extremely happy, really. She knows that I mean this. We are extremely happy that she's part of our family. And she found her a good husband, and her husband found her a good wife, and we're just tickled pink that we got 10 grandkids. This is going to be the 10th grandchild that we have. So come Christmas time, I purposely get mad at everybody, so I don't have to buy nobody a Christmas gift. Pastor.
Okay, I'll hold that, and I'll take it back from you in just a minute and give it to Jacob. I am so proud of, this is Jacob Davis, and his family is very special to us. They're sitting in the back, Jacob, his father, and Candace, and the multitude of his brothers. I knew this guy when he was little, and then there was a season of time that I didn't see him so much. But I am so glad, and I am so thankful, and I'm so proud to see that in this last year, or last couple of years, or whatever, how long it's been, that there's been a real resurgence of Christ back in your family's life. But I've watched you also, and I've seen you come in here unresistant and really listening to what is, you know, taking place. And besides for that, Jacob was our high school quarterback, and we're really proud of him for everything that he achieved in high school, and especially for your walk of Christ. We thank you so much, and we want to give you this and say congratulations, and just tell us a little bit about what your plans are for the future.
I graduated from Immaculate High School, and I'm new to this walking, and I got to get back to it, and I just want to become a good man in Christ.
Amen. What about you got any plans for college or where you're headed? Or?
I plan to attend Ave Maria University and play football and basketball.
Wonderful. Wonderful. What kind of major do you think you're going to pursue?
A business degree.
Wonderful. All right. Thanks, Jacob. We appreciate it so much. Homer?
Hey, man, me and his dad, I've known his dad for a long time, and me and his dad, we talk, you know, a couple of times a week. We're extended times, and his dad's been telling me how his son really, and this blesses me more than anything. I used to be a sports freak, and I still love sports. Still, I like sports. I don't love sports anymore. I like sports. And his dad was telling me, my son says he's going to play a major role in this revival. I said, my God, what more do you want than a dad for your son to be glued into the words of Pastor Bronk and to conclude within himself, Dad, I think I'm going to play a major part of this revival. Amen. That in itself is enough for me. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor.
Praise God. Hold that. Abigail Adami, we are so proud of you. We've watched this young lady grow up in our church as well. So anytime we're able to look and watch years pass by and adults or young adults stay true to the Lord, we're so thankful for your ministry or for your call and for everything that you've stayed close to the Lord or you stayed in the church. And so thank you so much. Thank you so very much. Candy, do you have anything to say? You've watched these girls. And why don't you, I just felt maybe you'd have something good to say.
You'll make me cry. These kids, they've just all grown up before us, and it's a great obligation to live right before God, before these children, because we're so responsible that they see God in us. And I've watched these girls, her and her sister, Lisa, and they're such wonderful girls. I've seen them, because we live right here by the church, I've seen them over here just about every week, or their brother, or their dad. They clean this church for us. They have a great reward in heaven for what they've done. And I just thank God for them, and they've grown up so beautiful, and I do love them so much. And I remember when they were little, I taught them in Sunday school. I was over there until they had to pull me out because I just wanted to stay there. I didn't want to be in here. But anyway, I love these girls, and well, all the kids. Amen. God bless them.
Abigail, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're headed and what your future is, or what you feel like your future is?
I graduated from Mockley High School, and I plan to go to FSW and major in accounting.
Where?
FSW.
FSW.
It's Edison.
Edison, okay. Yeah. It was the old Edison. Everything is changing. Everything is changing. Hallelujah. Homer.
Amen. Again, like Miss Candy said, I couldn't believe when I was, when Elijah said, Dad, that young girl that goes to church with us, if she's going to graduate, I said, there's no way in the world. Like Miss Candy says, my God, time absolutely flies. It absolutely flies. And I've got to know her and her sister Lisa as they were part of the youth ministry, and very quiet, sit in the back, say nothing, bother nobody, to their eyes glued on the Word of God. And at the end of the day, I mean, again, Miss Candy even nailed it too. Week after week, it seemed like year after year, this church smelled clean and was clean all the time. And the same family, time and time again, just as servants of God, just cleaning the house of God. And it's just an honor to have, taught them the Word of God. And it's just an honor to see them grow up as young women in this town. Amen.
Hallelujah. The next young lady is very special to Candace and myself. We have watched her not necessarily grow up in this church, but grow very spiritually in this church. And she has, I'm so thankful for watching her life and seeing her hold a level of integrity. And we've watched her through the years come in here, receive from the Lord, and have such a hunger for God that she had a willingness to actually lay down her life. We're teaching the theoretics and the practicalities of laying down your life, and we're teaching that by inroads around here. But then there's always the next step. There's the next step, and that is actually doing what we're saying. And I actually got a chance, and we all really got a chance to watch Melody Stouffer with no fanfare, with no watch what I'm doing, actually lay down her life and go on the mission field for a number of years and go to a foreign country and work at an orphanage and just say, Lord, you know, my life is not my own. And these are the heroes in my life. Those are the, a long time ago, the sports stars and the men that will play in tonight's game that are making $50 million a year, they are not my heroes. I it's not that I don't respect them. I respect a person like Melody Stouffer that laid down her life and said, Lord, use me, do what you, I'll go and serve as long as you would have me to go and serve. Those are the kind of people that are my heroes. And Melody has just recently, she's not only beautiful, but she's also very smart. And she has recently graduated with a postgraduate degree, with a master's degree. I'm going to let her talk about that and what her future is and what God is saying to her for her future. But Melody, Candy and I and the rest of the church are very proud of you. And so God bless you. Amen. All right.
I won't preach, but I'll just share. before I even started my graduate degree, I didn't even know I was going to do this. I never had a desire. I thought I was going to be in the classroom. I'm a teacher forever, working with children. And the Lord just laid it on my heart. As teachers, we get these emails in saying, you know, go to postgraduate school and earn your degree, master's degree. And I just always would delete them. And then one day it popped up and it stopped. I stopped on it. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, look into this school. So I said, I don't think so. So, but I did it anyway. I obeyed. I looked in the school. University of Texas at Arlington is the campus. Not the Longhorns, they're the Mavericks. There's a difference. I'm a Sooner fan. Anyway, I looked into the school, and then I started looking in their programs. And as a teacher, you have a couple options. You can go into curriculum, which is about, you know, looking at the types of materials that's being taught in the schools, or there's reading, or there's math, or science. You can get a master's in. And I would go click on those, and I was about to apply, and I just felt a stopping. Like, don't apply for, I was going to do reading. And I just felt, you know, don't. This is not the degree I want you to do. And I was like, well, what other degree is there? I'm not math, I'm not science, I don't want to do curriculum, so reading's my only option. And I just felt like, look at the other degrees. And I was like, well, what other degrees would there be? And so I kept looking, and I saw that there was a leadership degree. And I thought, no, there's no way I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to stay in the classroom. I like my four walls. I like my 22 to 25 kids a year, and I'm good with that. And I went again to, you know, submit my application for the reading master's program, and it just was no peace at all. So I was like, all right, fine. I'll just submit to the leadership one where I feel like I'm supposed to and see what happens. So when I went to fill out the application, it just went so smooth. I had perfect peace, and I said, well, I don't know, which is my life. I really don't know why I do it, but I guess my philosophy is just listen and obey. I don't understand. I just listen to the Holy Spirit. I listen to the Lord and I obey, and I see what happens. And so I listened and I obeyed, and he helped me through each one. And I say the next part to give the glory to the Lord. I graduated with a 4.0. Very excited. Yay. That I was able to, that the Lord gave me the insight and the wisdom every time I sat down to do a paper or a project, and he was there with me the whole time, even when I was teaching full time. So, and I know that during my internship, I had to get 500 hours, and that means 500 unpaid hours that you have to work extra in the school district. And I have just gotten connections and letters of recommendation, and I just always give the glory to God. I don't know if they know the Lord or not, but I say, I know that it's a calling. I know the Lord has called me into this position, and I'm here to do as he commands, and I know that's what's making the difference. So thank you for your prayers and support, and I do. I thank the Lord for continuously guiding my steps and me listening and obeying and not giving up and just knowing that even though I don't know what's going to happen, I honestly don't. I've never saw myself as an assistant principal or principal, but I've always seen myself with children. So I know he's going to use this leadership degree in some way or another to reach children for his kingdom. And so that's what my goal is, just to keep following him and listening to his voice and obeying. So,
yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much.
Preacher. Amen. Pastor said she was smart and she was beautiful. And guys, she's also single. single and loves the Lord. You big dummies, she loves the Lord. You dummies, she loves the Lord and single, and she's going to be making a little bit of money in the future, guys. Gosh almighty, no. Pastor nailed it. He took my words. I've always called her this, and she sort of blushes a little bit, but she's also one of my heroes, Pastor Bronk. She always has been. I won't go into detail, but many of you know why I say that. But she indeed is a very humble young lady, and she teaches without talking much. You know, her lifestyle in itself is a living testimony, and that in itself is commendable. Melody, you certainly are. You know, it's always, well, we have to say nice stuff from here. We can't say nothing bad about nobody, but truly, I truly mean it with all my heart. You have been, will always be one of my heroes for holding on to integrity, for holding on to purity in the eyes of God, and you're going to make a man a wonderful wife one day because of your walk with Christ.
Hallelujah. Pastor. Praise God. This next young man, Mr. Carl Ellie. I hate to say this. I'm very secure in my manhood. He's a handsome young man, and he's smart. I got the opportunity to spend the whole day with Carl yesterday, riding in the truck. And he was helping me do some stuff along with Alex. And it was the best day of my life. We just laughed and laughed and laughed. We moved some people and got wore out, but we had a good time in the Lord. I am especially proud and thankful. I can say the same thing concerning him that I said concerning Melody. He's a hero in my life. He's one of these young men that I look to. Now, he graduated from Immokalee High School a number of years ago, and then graduated from Louisiana Monroe with a four-year degree. And what we're honoring him for this morning, because I had already thought about this even before he helped me out. This is not a payback for helping out. I had thought about this before. I thought, did we ever honor Carl for his master's degree, for his postgraduate work that he did? Because after he got finished with his four-year degree, he continued to stay on there and went on and got a master's degree. He actually went there on a football scholarship. He was a very hard-working football player here at Immokalee High School and one of our better running backs, and went there on a football scholarship and played for the team, and actually went there for a number of years on a scholarship. But one of the things that I would say that has impressed me the most about him is this, is that he really does this message. And he did it all the years that he was away from us. It's a one thing to be in our environment and to do it. It's another thing to ask yourself the question, if I left this group and I went someplace else and I didn't have the moral support that I've got right now, could I be able to walk this walk someplace else? And I know through communication and all the different questions that he would call through the years and the different times that he is aggravated, I mean, called Homer, and continually stayed in touch with us, that he was on the walk. He was doing the walk. And so much so that he really actually developed a Bible study on the university campus. And that Bible study, with not any fanfare to say about it as far as, you know, to really go on and embellish what it became, there were a few hundred students meeting weekly. He actually had a bigger church than what I've got. He really did. And yet, he could have stayed there, continued to lead the Bible study, and continued to do a lot of different things, and he could have actually begun to set up his own ministry. And he chose in his heart to come back here and to help us receive revival. And that just speaks volumes to myself as someone that really, really loves the Lord. The other thing, too, is this. Not only has he come back, coming from a position where that for, you know, he would sit in a building where there would be 200 or 300 students that he would actually teach, like the Born Again Trail, or teach different things. And he could have continued to try to, maybe he might have even set up his own church over there or done whatever. He's come back here and never, ever once has he petitioned me or pressured me or pressured Homer like, I need to have the mic. I need to preach. Somebody needs to hear my message. He sat in a very humble position and said, I'll serve and do whatever you want me to do. And so those are the kind of heroes that we're talking about. And he's going to get his day. He's a preacher. That's why Homer said, don't give him the mic. Don't let him talk too long. But we're going to have to give him the mic just for a little bit. But talk to us about your graduate degree, what you're in, and where you're headed. And you can preach just for a little bit, okay? So, Carl, son, we're proud of you. Bless you.
How you doing? My name is Carl Ellie. Went to Immokalee High School. Got my bachelor's degree from the University of Louisiana Monroe, Duck Dynasty Nation. Then I turned around probably in a year because it was free. So I was like, hey, let me just go ahead and get my master's. Like Melody said, there was no possible way. Everybody was like, Carl, you should get your master's degree. I was like, look, I'm from the village. I'm from Immokalee. Graduating was a big thing already, a big accomplishment. Getting a master's degree, come on, you know I'm not smart at all. All I do is probably, and it comes from God, not from myself. I mean, just have a work ethic. Homer always taught me when I was younger, son, don't quit. He always told me, don't let anyone outwork you. So what I did is just found people that worked harder than me, and I just learned from them. And the message is amazing, of course, like what Pastor said. We had awesome times there, but the Lord was like, hey, I need you to come back here. And, of course, I fought it, like, I mean, a lot of other things. And I was like, Lord, I rebuked the devil about a million times. And it was sad, actually. It's just I felt in my spirit it was that time. And I actually, the last Bible study, I cried in the back because I felt it upon my spirit like, yeah, I was going to get ready to leave. And the Lord opened up doors and, you know, a place for me to be able to stay. I mean, once I said yes, everything else opened up. A place to stay. I asked him for a quiet place so I can be able to pray, you know, and that's what he did. I didn't want to go to the village. I'm from the village, but I didn't want to go back. So he opened that up for me, and I got my master's in criminal justice, minor in psychology and sociology, and soon one day I want to open up my own boys' home, and I feel, you know, I want to be able to provide for revival, and I know there's so many other ways, but that's the direction that God led me towards, so I know that we're in revival, so I'm going to keep it short.
Just say hallelujah. Thanks. Thanks. Homer, if you can say something nice about Carl, then please.
I'm going to start claiming Carl on my taxes as much as my food as he eats. And my mom, I might as well add Renee and Alex, too. No, but Carl was real close to us. Carl come a long way. I mean, he was a terror on that football field. Jacob Gagos can attest in the back. He was just a terror in high school, could come to college anyway, different story. But he was a terror in high school, and if Carl comes to your house and asks you a question about God, be prepared to stay there like 4 or 5 hours. You gotta have restroom breaks to talk to him, lunch breaks, coffee breaks, because he won't leave. And Carl's a good kid to have at your house, because you can be asleep and say, okay, Carl, I'm going to sleep. He don't get offended. He'll stay there, and he'll use your Wi-Fi for free, eat your groceries for free, but he'll never ever disrespect you. And you can trust him with every single thing and with everybody in your house. And he knows, and he's at my house all the time, and he's grown real close to me and Pastor Bronk. Pastor Bronk has been right there with me. Carl trusts Pastor Bronk's wisdom second to none, and he comes to me with his problems, with his victories, with his when he rejoices, his strongholds, his weaknesses. I'm privileged to speak into his life. My wife is real close to him. He calls us his mom and dad, and it's been a pleasure. It's an honor to have a young man like that that's also kept up a level of integrity himself without going into detail, and that's hard for a young, handsome man like him to keep up with. To hold a level of integrity and purity is unheard of nowadays. So I commend him and I love him. He knows I love him with all my heart, and I'm privileged that he calls me and my wife his mom and dad, and he knows I love him with all my heart.
Praise God. We had two more, and I don't see them here this morning. Alexi, and Sandy, and how do you pronounce Sandy's last name? Divert. And so Sandy's not here with us. She's probably with Jordan at. Okay, so that's all our graduates. Let's give them another great big hand. Amen. You guys want to sit on the front row again? And if I could get a couple of you guys to bring this down. Turn with me for just a few moments to the book of 2 Timothy. Candy, if you'll hold these, and we'll get that to them later. Because it is getting close to the noon hour, and that was really wonderful. How many enjoyed that? I'm going to share just a little bit, and I'm going to share a lot less than what I had planned. And so Homer knows what I'm saying. We're going to have to curtail this a lot. But I just want to share maybe for 10 minutes. And then I'll let Homer come, or ask Homer to come and share for just a little bit. So 2 Timothy, I will try to get there myself. Hallelujah. If we had the time this morning, really this is a graduation service, and we're honing in on speaking to these graduates, but you're part of it, and you're listening, and everything that applies to them applies to you as well. You may want to just write some of these scriptures down if you have something, or try to remember them, because I really would have liked to go into Jeremiah 29:11, which is a wonderful scripture, in which God talks about that he knows the thoughts that he thinks towards us. And those thoughts are good thoughts. And he says, I think good thoughts towards you, thoughts not of evil, to bring you into blessings and to give you an expected end. And the word expected end means the thing that you long for. The word of God tells us in one place and another place that God gives us the desires of our heart. And a lot of times that's so misconstrued, because ministers will teach it and say, well, whatever you desire, God's going to give it to you. Well, if that happens, you can really get in a mess, because you can desire the wrong husband, the wrong wife, the wrong ministry, the wrong place to work, the wrong this. So, but what it's saying is this: God actually, if you spend time with him, he's the one that impregnates you, your spirit, with his desires. And then if you follow that desire on the inside of you, and it's like Melody was saying this morning, when she first clicked on to that website, it was like, I don't want that. I don't want to do that. Well, that was her soul. But something was being placed inside of her spirit, a desire of God. And so once she began to do that, then she got more involved and followed that out, and ultimately was able to come to a place of success by following that desire that was inside of her. And God's going to use that not only for her life, but it's a teaching for all of us. If we spend enough time with God, God gives us the desires of our heart. And the happiest you'll ever be in this life is to follow his desire, not yours. Even if it's a smaller house, even if it's not the right location, you might not get the mountain view that you'd like. You might not live in the city that you'd like, but you'll be the happiest that you'll ever be by doing the plans of God. I did not pick a Mockley for myself. If my flesh has its way, I'm going to get my son-in-law my two son-in-laws, and I'm going to ask him to figure out a way to transfer all of his business and his professional career as a firefighter to some place in Tennessee, and where we can look over the mountains. That would be real nice. And I'll get my other son-in-law. We'll find jobs up there, and that would be my soul's desire. But you know what? If I went up there and did that and lived in a nice mountain view with a nice hunting lease someplace, I'd probably be so miserable that nobody could live with me, because you're happiest when you're following God. Glory be to God. He's the one that gives you the desires of your heart. Psalms 139 talks about, again, God, the multitude of his thoughts towards you, that he continually thinks thoughts towards you, and that how that he's known you even before, that the Lord actually is the one that even before, now you did not exist before your mom and dad conceived you, but the Lord knew you were coming, and he had plans for your life. And so God will continually multiply those thoughts to us, the desires of our heart, the ones that he wants to put in there as we continue to go in further with him. Now, I just want us to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 for just a moment, because I am so proud of these young men and these young ladies, and the ones that may be listening today, and the ones that are not here that we're also going to honor as we spoke their names out. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. Timothy was an understudy of Paul, and he actually became Paul's spiritual son in the faith. Now, I don't try to take on accolades to myself. I try not to. But these young men, these young ladies, they're here because they're hearing this message week after week, and their heart's desire is first, you know, for God. But they have allowed me the honor of discipling them or fathering them in the faith, and also coming under the ministry of Homer and listening to him week after week and month after month. Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was a young man that had been mentored under his ministry, and he had to leave him at Ephesus. And he left him in a city where Paul established, you know, the church. But he turned around and said, Timothy, I'm going to have to leave this with you because God's got me going on to other places. Now, historically, I can't give you Bible verse on it, but historically, the church at Ephesus went into a revival. It sprang into a revival. And I've read enough on it. And then I've heard a great historian, Rick Renner. I think I was actually in the service when he was talking about this, that within the first 6 months of Timothy's ministry at Ephesus, the church went to like whatever it started at to like 60 to 70,000 people. It just went crazy. I mean, the expanse of Christianity, everybody was getting saved, and Timothy was the head of it as a young pastor. Now, can you imagine 60 to 70,000 people? And of course, you've got other leaders trying to help you and stuff, but you're the one that Paul has left in charge. Timothy, I'm going to leave you in charge. Now, he wasn't a young man like a teenager, but he was old enough to mature enough that Paul left him there, and Paul was writing back to him. And Paul was admonishing him, and Paul was trying to encourage him. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, verse 1, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I've served from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul knew that he had put something on Timothy that he better pray for him continually. He knew that he had left a great responsibility with him. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Timothy may have been weeping, thanking God for the opportunity to serve God in a strong way, but he also may have understood the gravity, the sobriety of what was being left with him. He might have been saying, Paul, don't leave me. Please don't leave me. But nevertheless, Paul says, I can continually remember the tears in your eyes. I can continually remember, and I pray for you on a continual basis. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Now, feigned means, the word feigned means plastic or facade. Means it's not really real. It's something you can see, but it's not really real. Paul was saying just the opposite. Paul was saying to Timothy, your faith is genuine. It's not a facade. It's real. Timothy, I know that you're genuine through and through. You are who we see you to be. You're not a hypocrite. You're what you are. I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dealt first with thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in thee also. Praise God. So thank God for a godly heritage. Thank God. And I appreciate all of you, you graduates, and I appreciate you allowing your family to speak into your life. But if you're here this morning and you did not have a godly heritage, when you're coming here, God is creating a godly heritage on a continual basis. So there's no excuse like, I don't have a pedigree. Nobody taught me. Mom and Daddy didn't teach me. Listen, you're in here 2 months, you're already getting a pedigree. Hallelujah. You're already getting a foundation. You're getting all you need to go forward. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of hands. Listen, every single one of you sitting up here and all of you out there, you have a call. Your call is not, thank God for your mamas, that is a tremendous call. But there's a call, that's not one of the calls listed in the Word of God, although it's a mighty call to raise your family. But God has something inside every single one of you. It's a destiny of greatness, and it all has something to do with this end time revival. Thank God for daddies. One of the greatest calls you'll ever have is to mentor your sons. Now, some of you out there didn't have daddies that stayed around. Some of you sitting up here didn't have daddies that stayed around. But you're growing in a place where that's not going to be the future of your children. You're going to be, God is instilling inside of, if any one of you and all of you up here, whatever the desires of your heart is, if it's to be a business owner, if it's to be have a wife, have a husband, if that desire is in there, God's going to fulfill it. And it's all part of your call. It's all part of the puzzles which will fit together to complete the greater call, which is to bring in the revival. But all those intricate things of a wife, a husband, children, all that's part of God placing those desires in there. So don't let anybody say, well, just the spiritual things, like just what we commonly call spiritual things, those are the only things important to God. No way. God is, if you go back and read Psalms 139, He is intricately aware. He's the one giving you all those things. God gets down on a grassroots level with all of us, and He loves to talk about personal things to you. And He loves to fulfill personal desires for you. Why? Because ultimately, those grassroots things inside of you, which God will work with and be a part of and fulfill in your life, they will make a man or a woman of integrity out of you, so you go on to fulfill the call that you're supposed to fulfill. So praise the Lord. Paul says here that he puts him in remembrance, that he stir up the gift of God. And I say to every one of you, continue to stir up everything that God has placed in your life in these last several years of being a part of this church or being a part of the ministry in which God has called you to, and the words that you've heard from myself and from other men that have visited here and from Brother Homer. Verse 7 says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And all of you know that we teach around here, that's the new nature. That's the born-again spirit. That's the part of you that God has called or has birthed, and He's called for a ministry in your life. He says, therefore, or verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, I've never been imprisoned for the Lord, and nobody has beat me, and I've not gone through that persecution as of yet. But Paul is saying to Timothy, don't be ashamed of what you've been taught. And don't be ashamed. Listen, and I'm admonishing all of you. I know that it's, and I heard this when I was a kid, and it was true, but believe me, based on what I'm seeing in the Spirit and what I'm seeing in the apostasy of the church, we have never lived in such a time where there's more pressure on people and young people and young adults to stay true to the integrity of God. And here's the amazing part. Paul was saying, look, Timothy, don't be ashamed of staying the course. Don't be ashamed of me, the prisoner of God. Don't be ashamed of what you have been taught. We're living in a time where what we're teaching, like on a weekly basis, and what we've been teaching like over the last several weeks, like the inoculation against truth, which calls, we're teaching on, you know, discipline the flesh through the Spirit, saying no simply to sin. All those things nowadays seem like that they're a novelty. It's like, why? It's like if for many in many instances, if you go outside of this church or other churches like it, and I'm not saying we're the only one, and believe me, I'm not saying that there are not probably big churches that preach integrity. That's very possible. But I'm saying this because of the atmosphere that's out there in the world, and in the, when I'm not talking about the world, I'm going to back up. What's out there in the church world, it's like, it's almost as if we're teaching something so strong that we're like a little cult here, you know, that we're like some kind of little, like, and you could almost, and I'm saying this to these on the front and to all of us, we could almost think, look, we're weird, we're different, and what's wrong with us? Listen, we're not trying to be different. All we're doing is we're just teaching the simple word of God. It's just the simple, this is what everybody from the beginning held to, the simple things, the integrity. If I stood up here this morning and said, you know what, folks, I did not commit adultery on Miss Candy this week, and I did not get drunk, and I did not look at pornography this week, should you all cheer me and say, oh my God, that is fantastic, thank God for Pastor that didn't? Duh. Folks, I didn't get drunk this week. I didn't even do any social drinking this week. You shouldn't say, my God, that impresses me so much. That's incredible. That's just the common, everyday, plain vanilla, if you want to put it that way, life of a born-again believer. That's just the way we should. And there's so much pressure on these guys, and because it seems like there's such a shift in the church world for, you know, I read several weeks ago or a couple months ago how that some of these Christian dating websites, how that they took their own poll, or I think Charisma did it, and then I've read two or three others. It's like the majority, not the minority, but the majority of Christians today, young Christians, believers, and singles, believe that it's okay to have sexual relationship before marriage. And then we come along and we're saying, no, it's not. Do you realize that our forefathers 40 or 50 years ago, they were not contending. They preached the gospel the same way, the ones that preached what we're preaching, but they were not contending with a church society mentality that said, if you believe that stuff, you're weird. We're not weird. We're just teaching the simple word of God. And it's not hard to do those kinds of things. It's not hard to keep from doing those kinds of things. Because why? Because that's who we are in Christ Jesus. And so I admonish all of these, look, it's not wrong to feel the pressure. And it's not wrong for, you've got other relations besides this congregation. And many of you will go into professional careers or whatever. You're going to feel that pressure. And you're going to feel like that we're the weird ones. But we're not trying to be different for different sake. We're just wanting to serve God and love everybody and say, look, but I'm saying all that to say this. Don't be ashamed of what you're being taught. And don't feel like you're the odd man out. Don't feel like you're the weird person. Realize this. This is just simply the Word of God. God has called us to walk in truth and love and holiness. And I believe all of you guys are going to make a tremendous difference in the future. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Homer, come up and share just for a little bit. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, you're honoring Homer to give him the mic at the end. No, that's the oldest trick in the book. The preachers want to say what they want to say first. That way, in case he wanted to say anything out of 2 Timothy, I said it first. Okay. No, I'm just kidding.
No, he's not. Praise God.
No, he's not.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God.
I'm amazed at what Pastor said, because I've been going through 2 Timothy to a T. I went through it I don't know how many times yesterday. And it's amazing how what he was going to say, I was going to say. But he prays in the Spirit, and I pray in the Spirit. The Lord shifted me this week to the book of Titus to chapter 2. And obviously you guys are here graduates of what? Doctrine. You sat under somebody's teaching. And you must have listened because you're graduates. You're high school graduates. You tell me you have masters, etc. You're graduates. And a graduate listens to doctrine. And obviously he passes the test regarding that doctrine because you're graduates. I'm going to give you just a little bit more doctrine today. And if you listen, I promise you this will go hand in hand right with what Pastor Bronk said. I mean, to a T. And it's Titus chapter 2. I don't know what verse. I think you can excuse me for that. But it's just I'll be knowing verses before long, though. And I'll be teaching a lot more. But right now, I just got to exhort. But add this to what you heard Pastor Bronk minister on. Paul said to Titus in chapter 2, listen to this carefully. He said, the grace of God, the true grace of God, not the grace that's taught out there nowadays, not that grace, but the true biblical grace of God. Paul tells Titus, he said, but the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Listen to this now. It's hand in hand with what Pastor Bronk said. Remember, you're here because you passed the test regarding the doctrine that you were taught. You passed the test and you scored high enough to receive a diploma in what you did. You obeyed doctrine. But here Paul tells Titus, he said, the grace of God which bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Listen to this now. The true grace of God, the true grace of God, listen to this, the true grace of God which bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. What's it say after that? Teaching. He said, the grace of God which bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live what? Anybody turn there? We should live soberly. I know what it is. I'm trying to see if you're there. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this world. My friend, that is the true definition of grace. Notice what he said. He said, grace what? Grace teaches you. Yes. He said, grace teaches you. Let me tell you one thing. Grace teaches you that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and that in this world, me and you, this grace is teaching me every day. This grace is teaching Pastor Bronk, and this grace is teaching you every single day. Like your teachers, your professors taught you, you heard, you did, you passed the test. The grace of God is still teaching me and you today the true grace of God, the true biblical definition of grace that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Teaching us, we should deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and that we should live what? Soberly, righteously and godly in this world. That is the true grace of God. This grace does not preach that being promiscuous is okay. This grace does not teach predestination. This grace does not preach once saved, always saved. This grace does not teach purgatory. This grace does not preach that you never have to ask God for forgiveness. No, on the contrary, this grace teaches us the true word of the living God. This grace continually is teaching Pastor Bronk as my pastor. It's continually teaching me as an elder, and it will continue to teach you the grace of God. His empowerment inside of you will continually teach you to the day you die and talk to you and tell you in this world, you're to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this world. And you are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, my friends. Pastor Bronk nailed it. He nailed it. This is the true grace of God. How do you know, Homer? Because I know how to hear the Bible and I know how to read it. And I spend my day with Jesus Christ. Well, you're part of a little small church in Immokalee. How much can you know? I'm here telling you the truth, that this is the true grace of God. This grace does not teach that it's okay to fornicate. This grace does not teach that, well, I did this sin because I'm not there yet. No. This grace says, stop it. This grace does not teach, well, it's okay to do it because you're praying in tongues. No, that's not what this grace teaches. Well, I did it. I'm growing. I'm not there yet. No. That in itself is a form of hyper and radical grace, my friends. If you're doing stuff and you're doing it and you're saying to yourself, I did it because I'm still praying in tongues. I haven't matured yet. That is hyper grace. That's radical grace, my friends. That is wrong. The grace of God says this: stop it right now. God be thanked that you were the servant of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that former doctrine delivered to you, being then made set free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. That grace speaks like this: stop now. You have the power within you through the rebirth. Through what Pastor Bronk said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, you have not received the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a disciplined mind. That is the grace of God. Through that grace, we can endure affliction, fiery trial, and persecution. There's nothing in the world that me and you cannot endure through the true grace of God. That is the grace of God, my friends. If you live by this grace, if you allow this grace to teach you, all six of you will work exploits for the Father. And you'll be that man and woman of God that God has called you to be. Live out the true grace of God. This grace does not preach that sinning is okay. On the contrary, my friends. On the contrary, this grace teaches Pastor Bronk as the pastor of this church, me as an elder, the other elders here, your worshipers here, it teaches us and empowers us through the rebirth to say no to this world. We have that power within us. Why? Because we have been born again. Yes. 1 minute and I'm done. This grace of God does not teach purgatory. I'm not going to go into that. This grace does not teach once saved, always saved. This grace does not teach predestination. This grace does not teach that you don't have to ask God for forgiveness. On the contrary, this grace teaches me and you daily, me and you, the true grace that bringing salvation has appeared to all men. Yes. To all men. Teaching us that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And that we should live sober, righteously, and godly in this world. Yes. Know that, my friends. The grace of God empowers me and you to overcome sin. the grace of God does not give me and you a license to live the way we want to live. That's sin, and that's darkness, and that's the darkness in 1 John chapter 1. We're proud of you. God bless you. Keep coming. Come hearing this man of God on Wednesdays and Sundays. Don't stop. Don't stop. I know we're few right now, but when revival breaks out, we won't be few for long. Amen. God bless you. It's been an honor to serve you guys. Pastor.
Continue. Have him stand up. Candy, if you'll come. And if you guys will just, if the rest of you will stand with us as we conclude this morning. If you graduates will stand here one more time. We just want to pray over you. We want you to stretch your faith. How many of you had a good time today? Hallelujah. So if you'll step forward, graduates. And if you'll slide down this way, Homer and Rosie. Stretch your faith this way. Let's bless them. And we appreciate all of you being a part of this and listening to the Word of God today. Father, right now, let's go ahead and step forward and pray over those in front of you. And the rest of you pray as we pray. Father, right now, we bless them in the precious name of Jesus. We pray that their lives, Lord, will go from this place to the next place that you have for them. Guide them, lead them, bless them. Father, we pray that in the name of Jesus, what you've called them to do in these last hours and the integrity that you've placed in their life, Father, I pray that it'll come forth by the power of the Holy Ghost like never before. Now, in the precious name of Jesus, in that name which is above all names, we bless them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Give somebody a great big hug this morning again as you're going. And tell these graduates, congratulations.